Members, the hour of 1 p.m. having arrived, I'm going to call to order the Subcommittee on Legislative Process Reform. Ms. Schaefer, will you take the roll?
Pulowski.
Present.
Pulowski, present. Wolgamott.
Wolgamott, present.
Wolgamott, present.
Present.
Doubt.
Doubt.
Doubt. Freiberg.
Present.
Freiberg, present. Garofalo. Garofalo. Haley.
Present.
Haley, present. Liz Lagarde.
Present.
Liz Lagarde, present. Moran.
Present.
Moran, present. O'Neill.
O'Neill, present.
O'Neill, present. Pinto.
Present.
Pinto, present. Sandsted.
Present.
Sandsted, present. Doubt. And Garofalo. Mr. Chair, a quorum is present.
Members, we may have some other members who are involved in the announcement of the fiscal forecast, which I'm sure you've heard the magic new number, which is almost another 180 turn from where we were last time we did a fiscal forecast. So I would assume that Representative Doubt, Representative Garofalo will be joining us when they're done with that. Members, today we're going to take a look. Oh, I'm sorry. Representative Wolgamott, you have a motion for us.
I do, Mr. Chair. I would like to move the approval of the minutes from Friday, February 19th, 2021.
Representative Wolgamott moves the minutes of the previous meeting. Is there any discussion to the motion? Seeing no discussion, all those in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? Nay. Motion prevails. The minutes are approved. Members, today we're going to have before us House File 1514 by Representative Sandsted. We're going to have a delete everything, and it's possible there may be other points that you might want to use to amend the bill. When the bill is in the shape that we hope it will be for passage, we're going to then lay it over for next week, and final passage will be next week. I would hope that members who want to amend that bill, they'd have a week to do it. The public will have a week to do it. And if you could get us the amendments 24 hours in advance, it would be appreciated so they can be posted in advance. So not only the public, but all of us can see it, and staff won't be put under any more stress than they've already been put on. Representative Sandsted, to your motion.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chair and members. I would like to move House File 1514 to be laid over.
All right. Puts the bill before us, and then Representative Sandsted, I believe you have a delete everything amendment.
Mr. Chair, I do. I would like to move the DE1 amendment to put the bill in the shape I would request.
Members, we would like to give every author the courtesy of putting the bill in the shape that they wish it to be. So all those in favor of the DE1 amendment signify by saying aye.
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 Any opposed, nay. Motion prevails.
No.
The amendment is approved. There was one audible no, but I think it still made it. So with that, Representative Sandsted, explain your bill as amended.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. So the House File 1514 as amended is still targeting reopening our food industries, specifically bars, restaurants. In Section 1 of the bill of the DE, what it does is it defines the industries that are being identified and targeted here as a restart. It requires counties now to receive a classification. It requires the commissioner to assign a classification, and I actually have 5 different criteria and risk levels in this assigned, from critical, high risk, moderate, low risk, and something called a new normal with a numerical range assigned to each of those. It then goes on to explain what the protocol or what those businesses should expect, or in terms of how they can operate, the level of openness, depending on the level of critical risk level that they have received. It talks about percentage open. It has mitigation efforts built within each of those risk categories. And I'm just looking through it. They're all spelled out. I don't want to go through each and every one of them unless you have questions there. And ultimately, what this is doing is giving, it's based on the three criteria that Commissioner Huff has identified to the committee multiple times as being our positivity number, case positivity number, case growth, and also availability of testing. And then it goes again, like I said, through all the criteria of levels of openness, mitigation efforts, et cetera. And it is based on a 14-day rolling average.
What members' questions from the committee? Representative Haley.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And thank you, Representative Sanstead, for your proposal. I know we've had discussions, and I know you've had multiple discussions with Representative Baker as well. I'm wondering if your proposal has been vetted at all with any industry partners, hotels, restaurants, et cetera.
Mr. Chair, thank you very much. Representative Haley, again, if you look at the language of this bill, this is targeted towards restaurants. So no, not hotels, not anything like that. It is, again, the same criteria that we have heard from the Commissioner of Health on. I have been in ongoing contact with Representative Baker in his meetings with the industry partners. So this is very much in line with the work that he has done as well. This doesn't open things as broadly. I think Representative Baker's bill may have included gym salons, et cetera. And that is certainly something that I am open to discussing if you would like to bring that forth as an amendment.
Representative Haley.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And thank you, Representative. Many hotels also have restaurants and also wedding venues.
State Budget Director.
Someone isn't muted, and we're getting some type of feedback. I don't know what it is. So, all right, Representative Haley.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. At wedding venues as well, could fall into this category. So, I have concern that this really doesn't solve the broader issue of all these types of venues that are impacted by the current executive order. Additionally, I have concerns that we're moving from the governor's dials, so to speak, to just different dials, and now putting the commissioner and the counties in charge of sort of pulling those strings. I appreciate the effort, and I know that, like I said, you and I have talked, and we're trying to move forward, but I believe this just adds a lot of complexity when we're at a point when the positivity rates are so low, the vaccines are getting out. And when you combine the number of folks that have been vaccinated with folks that have had the disease and those that may have immunity, I don't see the need for this complicated of a situation to dictate our commerce.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Sanchez.
Thank you. Representative Haley, as you know, both Representative Baker and I have been working on some type of a restart plan for several months. And my bill was originally brought forth from as a result of my local businesses having reached out to me. So my scope is smaller, perhaps, than the work that Representative Baker has done. I think at the end of the day, our goal is very much the same. As we, the race to the reviser who can have a bill jacketed first, and we've been waiting. I know he had his jacket. I know that he has brought his bill before this committee and discussed it. This is my opportunity to bring my bill before the committee and discuss it. And as of last night, I have had I had frequent conversation with Representative Baker, and I asked him, and I told him if he is ready to bring his bill forth as an amendment or work with that, come today prepared to do that or talk to his team to do that. I am open to looking at this. So again, as I have said ad nauseum in this committee, it is my hope to build the bill together, to have consensus, so we have the ability to pass a bill out of this committee and get it moving. And I would hope that we could do that in a very bipartisan way.
Representative Haley, you want to respond? Or?
I'll let other members take their turn. I may have some questions at the end.
All right. Representative Liz Lagarde, you're next.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair. And I'm not sure if this is the time or not, but I'd like to bring something forward.
Representative Lizegar, could we get through the questions that are before us now, and then we'll I think you may have another piece of language for us. So,
yes, thank you.
We'll
Mr.
come
Chair.
Back to you when we have the rest of the folks who are on my list.
All right,
Representative Pinto.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I do have a question, though. I guess I'll just note beforehand. I'm just reflecting on Representative Haley's comments. And just the one note about moving from the governor's dials to different dials. And I guess I've been hearing in this committee so much concern, a lot of concern expressed less about the dials than about like whose dials they are, and saying the legislature really needs to be involved and driving things. And I really, Representative Sandstead, I want to thank you. Because I feel like this, I know you've been working on this for months, but it also feels like it draws on the conversation we've been having this committee over the past bunch of weeks. Because what this is it's tied to metrics and it's tied to levels to say, you know, let's look at the health data and make decisions based on that. So I really, and then have legislature driving things, which I feel like I've been hearing so much from members of both parties. Could you just talk a little bit about the mechanics of how this works when counties are, because one thing I really like about your plan as compared to some other things we've seen is that it seems like it does allow for certainly lifting restrictions. But if there is a flare up of our concerns that we could, maybe restrictions have to be imposed again. Could you just talk about kind of mechanically about how that works if there's, health concerns going up and down and how that would work over time?
Representative Sandstead.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Representative Pinto, the issue that you have brought up, and I appreciate your question very much, is the one piece of my language that I think should be worked on and refined, and I hope that we can do that as a committee. I think Representative Baker's bill has kind of a fallback measure that would fall in beautifully here. The way this language is set up, it is a little bit clunky, and it makes it a little bit more difficult for the state to respond in the event of a flare-up if we should go backwards. I hope we wouldn't, but in the event we do. So again, that would be a perfect opportunity for language to be offered to kind of give us a fallback plan that's more efficient.
Representative Pinto.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, Representative Sandstead, for that response. That does sound like something that would be really important to work on. I guess just one other thing that just jumped out at me was the language in Subdivision 2 that says that bars and restaurants are going to be subject to these restrictions. Makes sense. They're described as being exempt from executive orders that limit occupancy, et cetera. And I guess that might be a spot we want to work on the language as well. The purpose, of course, being that the restrictions, that these legislative restrictions are the ones that are really applying, but wanting to make sure that if they're executive orders that are not in conflict with what's in here. So, I mean, that a thought occurs to me, maybe that's a way to phrase it, that executive orders that are in conflict with these restrictions, these restrictions take precedence or something. But again, look forward to continuing the conversation with this. But I think it's a really exciting move forward. And thanks so much.
Representative Freiberg.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I would echo what Representative Pinto said. I definitely think this is a step in the right direction from where the bill was, Representative Sandstead. And I know you've worked on it really hard and appreciate how much effort you've put into it. I sort of see it as being both more broad in one sense, but more narrow in another sense in its application. And I think it's a good thing, actually, the way that works out. It's narrower in the sense that the bill, as it had been introduced, applied only to Greater Minnesota. But this actually could potentially cover the whole state. But the fact that it's county by county, I think makes it narrower also and more targeted in its application. And I think that's a good thing. I do like the fact that it's based on quantifiable criteria as well, and I think you're using the correct criteria. I guess I was a little, I was kind of wondering, you know, about the numbers. I mean, you know, there's five different categories: critical, high risk, moderate risk, low risk, and new normal. And then within each of those categories, there's a number for active cases per 10,000, tests per 10,000, percent positive tests. I guess I'm just wondering if you've, you know, consulted with folks at the Department of Health, like your Commissioner Huff or whoever, just to make sure that those are the correct, those are the best possible numbers that we could use. I'm kind of curious how you arrived at them.
Representative Sandstedt.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Representative Freiberg, two answers to your question. I did reach out to Assistant Commissioner Huff at the beginning of this week. I have not heard back from him or even an acknowledgement of my attempt to reach him. So I have not gone over those specific numbers with him. The numbers were arrived at examples that he gave us in committee last week, different states' examples, based on different criteria. He kind of came forth with states that have plans. So I took it upon myself to start looking into those states' plans and looking at the ranges of numbers that they were using and tried to come up with and in discussion with our revisers to find out what the best application to as close to Minnesota numbers we could look at and based on the information that we had received. So I did attempt to reach out to Commissioner Huff on this to go over these numbers with him to see if he felt that this was within the range or not. Unfortunately, I have not received a response.
Representative Freiberg.
Thank you. Maybe I'll shoot him an email too and encourage him to respond to you. So thank you, Representative Sandstedt.
Representative O'Neill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Well, I'm just really disappointed. I mean, I feel like we just have gone so far backwards. It is absolutely status quo. I'll read you the language for people listening. Maybe nobody's interested in this anymore and they've all quit listening, but here's the language. The Commissioner of Health must determine and prioritize the COVID-19 risk level for each county. Period. The Commissioner of Health gets to determine it. And there's a chart, and I'm not quite sure what the chart indicates, because you could have cases that are in critical, you could have tests that are in low, and you could have positivity that's a new normal. So then what do? I'll tell you, the Commissioner of Health, the Governor's Commissioner of Health, determines and publicizes the risk level for each county. This is nothing different than what the governor is already doing with dials. This is nothing different. This is absolute status quo. We are not moving forward. Of course, your colleagues on the other side of the aisle, the author of the bill, would be encouraged by this because this is status quo. This is absolutely status quo. This has gotten us nowhere. Again, this is week six of us meeting. Six. We don't have a bill. We don't. When are we going to actually do something to move forward? This is a bill. Finally, we actually have a bill with a bill number for the first time in 6 weeks. That's great. I'd like to hear from Representative Baker, who happens to be on the line. Did he have any input in this? Is there anything here that is something that he looked at, would agree to? Because to me, this just looks like status quo yet again. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Representative Sandstedt.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Representative O'Neill, I do understand your frustration with leaving it to the Commissioner of Health, but I do think it's very important that we realize our role is the policymakers. We are not the scientists. And it would be fairly reckless, in my opinion, not to consider those experts who have the scientists' support and backing and data. That isn't something you or I have had access to. So in terms of this chart and a county being able to maybe be in different categories based on the criteria, that is the commissioner's role then to create one overall classification, risk classification of critical, high risk, moderate, low risk, and new normal. And there will have to be a justification for what qualifies a county to fall into those, which is very different than what we have now. So I would disagree with you. It does push it further down the road to make them define what those risk categories are, how they are achieved, and why they are given, why a county would be given that classification, which allows our businesses to plan accordingly, to be able to check and look at their numbers and know how much staff they should be hiring or not, how much produce to be procuring or not. So I do think that it gives business owners an opportunity to plan more efficiently than what they have right now.
Members, I'm going to go to Representative Lizegard. He also wished to speak, and we're at the end of the questions of the members on the committee. So Representative Lizegard.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I would like to bring up for consideration some language which should be in your packet, AS024. And it is to compensate the bars and restaurants for food and beverages that have spoiled or expired due to the business restrictions put in place in response to the pandemic. Obviously, yes.
Are you making a motion on that?
If I can make that motion, yes, if Representative Stansted will accept it.
Representative Stansted, why don't you comment on it? We'll go back to Representative Lizegard.
I have seen this language. I have reviewed it. I don't take issue with it. I'm happy to accept it as an amendment if you'd like to move it.
Representative Lizegard, to your motion.
Okay. Thank you. But anyway, as we've seen that the exact amount is of appropriation hasn't been in there yet, but it has been set up such where DEED would be able to work with industry reps to determine the average loss and be able to get the grants out quickly. The last thing we want to do is obviously complicate the system that small businesses could access it very easily. My understanding that these funds would also be available to compensate for past dial backs as well. And there's also a provision requiring the governor to provide reasonable notice to businesses if the restrictions look like they're going to be coming. And we're hoping that that's not the case. But in my mind, if that is the case, that means that the MDH, if they see a COVID surge possibly coming, that the governor needs to move heaven and earth, and I mean heaven and earth, to let businesses know that a dial back looks like it's going to happen. And if Representative Stansted would consider this, I would greatly appreciate it. I'll make one caveat when we talk about governor to provide reasonable. I think that we would all agree that reasonable is subjective. And I guess I would ask that the governor work with industry leaders on what is reasonable for them to be successful, both in dialing back and opening up, because there's challenges in getting staff and stuff like that. There's a lot at play. So, this is just an idea. We talked about it. I'm open to suggestions. I would like to make comments. I don't care if you're a Democrat, Republican. We're here to have these conversations. Whose bill? It makes me sick actually to think that we're playing that game. We're all should be putting forward. If Representative Baker wants to do an amendment, somebody should offer it. I watched Representative Stansted, her opening comments regarding this whole subject matter 2 weeks ago or a week ago when she said it. She said we. She said this isn't a perfect document. She's not using the word my or I. It's a we, and collectively can we work together? And so, whether this is perfect, whether this needs to be redone, we're moving the things forward. And I think I would ask if Representative Stansted would accept it. And if anybody has any suggestions, I'm open to that as well.
Members, Representative Lizegard has moved the amendment. Representative Stansted, I'll let you speak first, and then we'll go to members.
Mr. Chair and members, thank you very much. I am open to this amendment. I am happy to accept it. I think it would behoove us to continue to work on this, to not have a blank appropriation, but to have something defined. And I think that is a dollar figure that we could probably come up with within the week before our next committee to have it refined. But in the spirit of this amendment, I think it's a good one. And I think it helps us. I also think it fits nicely as a recovery to some of the damage that has been done to these types of industries. And it will also be minimized by putting a framework like I am presenting today in place to help businesses plan and not be stuck with produce and materials they cannot use.
Members, the motion before us is the Lizigard Amendment. Representative Haley.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Lizigard, I believe your intentions are well, but I am just astounded that this we're even talking about this. We're 15 days shy of a year under emergency powers, 350 days. We had, I think, five, six special sessions. I lost count. We're 53 days into this regular session. And you are the majority party. This is your governor. You can have any procedure done, anything out of the revisor's office, any motion on the floor, any committee hearing, you are the majority party. So 350 days, and your solution is to pay for molded lettuce. It's ridiculous. I don't know that you've talked to any restaurant owners. I don't know that you have any, you even understand their business.
Representative Lizigard.
Well, thanks for all the politics there, Representative Haley, because that's exactly what that stuff is. I did sit down. I sat down with the owners of the sawmill, and they're the ones that asked me to bring this forward because they were having a difficult time with the short time frame and the loss of product sitting while the restrictions were going on. That's exactly why I brought this thing forward, because I sat down with my businesses. In fact, they're the ones who testified with the committee we had, the House committee, select committee. Those were the two individuals that I sat down with, and they brought this forward, and I represent them. So don't say that I didn't talk to my representative. Don't play politics with me. I'm not in this game for politics. I'm in it to help people. And we're moving forward, and it's not good enough for you. Okay? We sat down and had dinner with you, and I worked with Representative Baker. Don't play politics with me, because I'm not in it for politics. I'm in it to help people.
Representative Haley.
I'm not in this for politics either, Representative Lizigard. I'm telling you, this solution does not move our businesses forward. Event centers, hotels, restaurants, bars, we are running out of time. That's what I'm telling you. Your amendment does not solve the problem.
Representative Garofalo, to the amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Representative Lizigard, as you mentioned, do you have dots in the amendment right now? Do you have a ballpark figure of what you would like to see that appropriation amount be?
Representative Lizigard.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I do not have that, Representative Garofalo. I would be looking for counsel for that.
And Mr. Chairman.
Representative Garofalo.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Representative Lizigard, we're entering the phase now of budget targets for committees. Is it fair to say that this would come out of Chairman Eklund's committee? That's where this spending would be charged in terms of the budget resolution. And Representative Lizigard, if you don't know that, we can defer to nonpartisan staff to get their thoughts.
Representative Lizigard, do you want to respond or should we go to staff?
Please go to staff.
All right. Who do we have on the call that can respond? I'm looking at the folks that are here.
Mr. Chair, Bill Marks.
Mr. Marks. Welcome to the committee, Mr. Marks.
Mr. Chair, I don't have an idea what the number ought to be either. This is the Department of Employment and Economic Development. It would actually be the Workforce and Committee, Workforce and Business Committee. I suppose there are a couple ways to get at this. We could submit a fiscal note request, or might be more effective to have some communication with Deed to see if they have any idea what the number ought to be first.
Representative Garofalo, we're going to, pass this bill a week from today out of committee. So by that time, we may have a number for you.
Okay.
Representative Garofalo.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And again, just from a process standpoint, obviously this would make the bill go to Ways and Means, but I just wanted to know which committee has the finance accounts that this would go through, because there's a big difference between this bill going to Representative Eklund's committee and some other members of the House DFL caucus. So thank you, Mr. Chair.
Okay, thank you. Representative Pinto, you're next.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I guess I'll note that that there are, you know, bars and restaurants, of course, that have faced restrictions in all of our districts. And one reason that I really appreciate the amendment is an amendment to a bill, to a proposal that sets up a series of restrictions and changes in response to health metrics, as we talked before. This amendment recognizes, though, that that when restaurants and bars have been closed, they've been doing that on behalf of all the rest of us. And so we certainly, least that we can do, of course, is to make sure that while they're being closed or having restrictions to keep the rest of us healthy, we can have compensation and provide support. I wanted to make that comment. I guess I did want to just clarify regarding Representative Garofalo's question, though. This would be, and my apologies if I'm just being dense here, but this is FY21. So it would be for the current fiscal year. So the targets would apply for the upcoming budget. And so it would certainly go through a given committee, but would be a little bit different than that budget setting process. Am I understanding that right? And if that directed to Mr. Marks, perhaps, or somebody else?
Pinto, will direct that to Mr. Marks.
Mr. Chair and Representative Pinto, yes, it would be fiscal 21. However, spending in fiscal 21 reduces the funding available in fiscal 22 and 23, and we've added those together, the past two biennium, when we're coming up with targets.
Okay.
Representative Pinto.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. That's helpful, Mr. Marks. And so I appreciate this this addition to make Representative Sandstead's bill even stronger, that as bars and restaurants are experiencing restrictions, we want to make sure that the rest of us are taking care of them as they're helping to take care of us by being under those restrictions. Thanks a lot.
Representative O'Neill, to the amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I had asked if Representative Baker, since he is on the line, could comment on this and the other amendment. He didn't have an opportunity to speak to that, and supposedly he was working with everybody, and I'd just like to hear that from him.
Representative O'Neill, I got your message. I had a list of other members, though, that were ahead of it, so I'm checking now. I don't have anyone else. Representative Baker, I think you're contacting us by phone.
Actually, Mr. Chair, yeah, thank you for that. I wasn't planning on commenting, and I was just listening via phone. I was able to, for the first time, take a look at the Sandstead bill, and I think Representative O'Neill just wanted me to comment. I think that there's a lot going on in Representative Sandstead's bill with new complexities and different levels of moderation and high risk, and this is all new kind of language in critical counties. And my only comment is this, and I do not want to. You know, challenge and say that anybody bringing offers to the table are wrong or not. We can't open up the state in piecemeals. We just can't do that. I am very willing to meet with Representative Sandstead over the weekend or Monday. I'm hoping that if we could come together with something that could be amended to her bill and I can help make it better and make it more streamlined. I'm more than happy to work on this in an urgent matter. I don't know, Mr. Chair. I can't ask maybe the question because I'm not on the committee, but I do certainly hope that if we come up with a new revised solution quickly, that there might even be a hearing earlier than next Friday to try to get it on a faster pathway to the House floor. I think we've got the mechanics of a couple of bills here that could be put together quickly. I just hope that we don't have to wait a whole week for this because of the timing of everything. But we do need to expand, I think, and I will try to share this with Representative Sandstead, and maybe I'll listen to her today or certainly offline. But again, there's a lot of complexities in here about restaurants getting very detailed. This is too detailed, in my opinion, about telling a restaurant operator how to do their job safely when they're already doing it. And if we're going to add a whole bunch of new, likely temporary measures, this is very problematic for the industry. So I think there's some things to look at. And I think that the, generally what this will do to a bill like House File 1336, which was already heard in your committee, is that we can look at the health parameters. And I think that's where Representative Sandstead is really bringing up some more clarity, perhaps. Again, I'm just urging this committee to, if nothing else, be committed to maybe having multiple steps next week that we can get out sooner than the following week. As I mentioned in the House floor yesterday, the event centers were my topic of issue yesterday. This has to be expanded to other businesses that are right now having severe restrictions in a time when our record numbers are very, very low. Our immunizations are even beyond the measures that I set up in my earlier roadmap. I had set it up at 1 million after 30 days. We're well over that already. That's how fast this is changing. So I would be very willing, Mr. Chair, and I know members know this, that I am absolutely authentic when I will sit down and do everything I can to make this House file better and make it the best it can be, and I'll be there, but we've got to work on this, and I hope it doesn't take a whole week to do this. We can get a lot done in a matter of a few hours if we're allowed to do that. Thank you for the opportunity to speak.
Representative Sandstead.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and I just would like to respond to Representative Baker. I am open to working with you. I have always been open to working with you. I have made the time to visit with you on the phone, through emails, in meetings with the Department of Health and the other stakeholder groups. So my offer has not changed. I also would like to just comment on Representative Haley's remarks to the amendment in saying that it does nothing to fix the problem. It strengthens part of what is the problem. I think the frustration that I'm hearing from you is that my bill, the scope, is too narrow for what you would prefer. But Representative Lislegard's amendment certainly strengthens and addresses the concern for the piece of the larger problem that I'm addressing through my bill. So I still think that his amendment is a good amendment and a strong amendment. And Representative Haley, if the scope of my bill is too narrow, please come to me, bring me your amendment, and let's have the conversation about how we can logically expand this to fix the overall problem. Because again, as I have stated ad nauseum, I am open to doing that. I think, again, it behooves all of us to understand that whatever we come up with has to be palatable to both sides of the aisle. And you're frustrated, I think, with some of the metrics or the restrictions, but I think that those are some of the things that are going to be expected by different constituencies, different parts of the state, as being reasonable. And so it's incumbent upon us to come up with what we can agree on. And again, just please bring me your language, work with me. I will talk with you. I am happy to do that. I do think that there is great possibility for this bill to be expanded beyond just restaurants. So thank you, Mr. Chair.
Members, we're going to hold off on any vote on the Lislegard amendment because there's been a drafting error to it. And this speaks to some of the issues that have been brought up before the committee. We have been told repeatedly by leadership to be very careful here about stressing staff, that if we put too much stress on staff, and there has been excessive stress on staff already because of these remote hearings, to make sure that we give adequate time for preparation. So the Lislegard amendment, we've discussed it. We'll make sure it's in proper form by next week. And again, I'm going to say next Friday is going to be our next hearing, again, to make sure everything will be in order and we'll be able to pass the bill out in an orderly form a week from today. So is there any further discussion to House File 1514 or the Lislegard amendment? I don't see any. So Representative Sandstead, I think we don't really need to renew your motion, but House File 1514 will be laid over and we'll be fully considering it a week from today. Representative Sandstead? Yes, Representative Sandstead.
House File 1514 as amended, correct?
As amended, yes. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Yep, as amended. Representative Sandstead, do you want us to review House File 1515? We've got some time, so would you like us to review that today? And again, we won't be voting on that. Members, I would like to divide these into two categories. House File 1515 is a review of Chapter 12 itself. That I would like to take up once we move forward on at least House File 1514. So that discussion we'll have today, but I want to act on that later once we make sure we have something that's adequately prepared before us. Representative Sandstead.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members.
Give us a review of House File 1515?
1515 is an identical draft, or it's the identical language to the draft that we discussed in committee a couple of weeks ago, and that was CS-043. There are no changes at all to the bill. It's just been jacketed and numbered. So what it does is it adds the term public health emergency to existing language and then defines that, and it clarifies the effective date and enactment. Section 2 of that bill amends Section 12.31 of Chapter 12, Subdivision 2, to include words pandemic and other public health emergency. It creates a new Section C that basically functions as a managerial phase, management phase, for when a peacetime emergency extends beyond 30 days, and in this management phase is where the legislature is able to assert its role as a co-equal branch of government for existing executive orders or rules. The governor would immediately need to provide a rationale and specific legal authority for each order or rule in effect and promulgated by the governor in response to the peacetime emergency. These executive orders or rules would expire on the 37th day of the peacetime emergency unless approved. The language, the way it is now, says unless approved by a majority vote of each house of the legislature. Executive orders or rules issued by the governor after the initial 30 days of a peacetime emergency would be handled in a similar way. The governor would need to provide a rationale and identify the specific rule of which it's falling under. And the legislature, again, would have to approve both bodies would approve by a majority vote. And I know that there has been quite a bit of conversation around that, which we can go into. And finally, the draft language states the language would become effective following the day following enactment. And it would apply to the current peacetime emergency and peacetime emergencies that could be declared after that date. It clarifies that executive orders currently in place as a result of the COVID-19 pandemic expire 7 days after the effective date of this section unless ratified by the legislature under Section C, which I explained is a majority vote of both bodies. And that is just a summary of what we've discussed.
Representative Pinto.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I'm sorry about this, or embarrassed about this, but when we were finishing up 1514 and you asked for comments on amendments, I'm not sure if the sound's working okay, asked for amendment, discussion on the amendment, and then we moved on from that bill. And I actually had a question on that bill. I think it's a relatively brief one. If that's okay, or I could save that.
Proceed. Go ahead. Proceed.
Okay, thank you. Yeah, and again, my apologies. I think the sound is flipped on. I'll try to fix that in a second. And my question for Representative Sandstead on the previous bill was simply that bill pertains to bars and restaurants, and I wondered if you considered expanding to include fitness centers or event centers. I've heard some folks in my district who own events facilities, et cetera. I know there's been a lot of interest in that. I'm just wondering if that's something that we could look at on that bill as well.
Representative Sandstead.
Mr. Chair and Representative Pinto, that's a simple and absolute yes. These are areas that definitely need to be addressed. I think that is part of what is frustrating for Representative Haley. I don't want to speak for her, but I do think that she sees the larger problem as being beyond just the scope of restaurants. I do think it's absolutely reasonable to have those conversations. I think what my bill does in addressing the restaurants is just kind of gives us bones with which to work about, work around. But certainly we could have that conversation about other types of industry. It would have been helpful to have, I think, Commissioner Huff here, Assistant Commissioner Huff, to talk about some of, I know in the conversation he had articulated to me concerns about our gyms. That was one area of maybe a little bit of a riskier opening or a riskier type of a restart. So again, not wanting to speak for him, but absolutely. And again, I invite Representative Haley to bring that as an amendment or another member from either side. I would welcome that.
Representative Haley, I think has her hand up, and it probably is to this point. Representative Haley.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I will comment on that, and then I had a comment on the current bill we're discussing. But thank you, Representative Sandstead. You and I have talked about this, and certainly I will participate as needed and encourage you to work with Representative Baker and add in the portions of his bill that I think address these other problems. So I'm confident that work can get done and very eager for it to bring a solution that we can all consider. Regarding the current bill around the public health emergency, and you and I talked about this, I think this is very similar to what I proposed when we discussed in one of our first committee hearings here. I would request to the chair, let's take a vote on Representative Sandstead's bill and see where we stand. We've discussed it now in two committee hearings, maybe three, and I would like to move it forward. This has been the chief charter of this committee to address emergency powers, and I think this is a very good start.
Representative Haley, we have other language that's going to be presented to this. Representative Lizegard is drafting a couple of things right now. So until we have those before the committee, no, we will proceed as I have instructed the committee. Representative Sandstead, do you want to respond to...
I'm good. Representative Haley, thank you for that. And I do look forward to working together to make this fit everybody's needs.
Representative O'Neill, I have next.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Again, it's been 6 weeks. We've been discussing this for at least 3 weeks. No, longer. It's been longer because the concept has been out there much, much longer. End of June last year, we discussed it in special sessions on the floor. We've discussed this a lot. And so I'm not sure what is taking so long to bring an amendment. We've discussed this and discussed this. So I'd like to make a motion to take a vote on this bill to move it to the general register. And I'd like to ask for a roll call.
Representative O'Neill has a motion to move this bill to the general register. She wants a roll call. Members, I will ask the clerk to take the roll with the understanding that the chair votes no.
Pawlowski, no. Wolgamott?
Pass.
Wolgamott abstain. Doubt? Doubt? Freiberg?
No.
Freiberg, no. Garofalo? Garofalo? Haley?
Yes.
Haley, aye. Lizegard?
No.
Lizegard, no. Moran?
No.
Moran, no. O'Neill?
O'Neill, aye. Absolutely.
O'Neill, aye. Pinto?
No.
Pinto, no. Sandsted?
No.
Sandsted, no. Two ayes, six nays, three abstain.
Motion fails. All right, members, we've got the discussion on House File 1515. I'm sorry, I didn't hear that.
Someone else. No, it's I was trying to vote, but you were not hearing me.
Oh, all right. That would make it.
Three ayes, six nays, three abstain.
All right. Yeah. So, members, what we are going to do at this point is we're going to have House File 1514 before the committee next Friday. You have an entire week to get your amendments in order. And hopefully we will have everybody with whatever they want to do ready to do it next week. And with that, meeting is adjourned.